How do we work with partners who can take on the building and the sales and the investment and the growth? And we can do what we do well, which is manage and grow the heart of the brand while somebody handles that execution side that we trust.
Welcome back to the Fifth Wave podcast. I'm Jeffrey Young, editor-in-chief of Fifth Wave. In today's episode, we're chatting with David Steingard, CEO and co-founder of New York-based coffee business Laughing Man. David founded Laughing Man in 2009 with his father, Barry Steingard, and actor Hugh Jackman. They were united by a vision to foster connection, positivity, and community through coffee. The company also set up a related charitable initiative, the Laughing Man Foundation, and more recently, the content creation space, Laughing Man Studios. In this conversation, David shares his incredible insight and wisdom from years of building and scaling a boutique business. And he also discusses his next plans for expanding via franchising. He also shares Laughing Man's mission to improve the lives of coffee farmers and their communities, supporting better housing, education scholarships, and women-led cooperatives. I hope you enjoy the conversation as much as I did. Welcome, David.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I wonder if you could give us a little bit of background, your career and how you got into coffee.
That's a pretty varied story. I've had many career iterations, but my last sort of major career was actually a criminal prosecutor in New York here. So I was a lawyer as my last iteration, and I really loved that work. And my family had been in coffee in the 70s in New York for a long time. And I was looking to leave the DA's office, and I really liked what was happening in coffee and specialty coffee and the socioeconomic issues, and the community is great. So we went back into that industry, and that was about 14 years ago that we started Laughing Man.
Fantastic. So give us some background on Laughing Man. What inspired the business and how the partnership with the founders came about?
Yeah, so it was a lot of good things coming together. You know, for me, it was always important that I did something that had some meaning, whatever that meant, but was something sort of larger than myself. So that, and I've worked in political campaigns or the DA's office or volunteering. Just there was always that streak in me. At the same time, I came from an entrepreneurial background, so I also had that influence as well to go out and start something. And as I was looking to leave the district attorney's office here in New York, as I'd said, really liked what was happening in the coffee industry, and I wanted to get back into it. So that was one impulse that was happening. Mm. The other impulse was, as you know, one of the co-founders of the company is Hugh Jackman. And while he's no longer involved in running the business, you know, his influence and his inspiration still carries on today. But back then, he obviously was part of the founding story. And he was doing some amazing work with an NGO called World Vision. And he was working out of their Australian branch and had developed a relationship with a coffee farmer named Dukali in Ethiopia. And it was really a poignant moment of seeing both the struggles and the beauty of the coffee farming community, and really had a deep connection with Dukali and his family and the community. And just, I think in the back of his mind, decided he'd like to tell this story more and help out where he could. And I don't think he really had an idea of what that was going to happen yet, except for raising awareness. So he came back to the States. We had mentioned, we had been family friends for a while. We had mentioned we were getting back into the coffee business. And it was just sort of the serendipitous moment. We said, okay, do you want to do something together? Sure. Let's do something like a Paul Newman type of model. And we set off to do Laughing Man, which is obviously to bring great coffees from around the world, honor the coffee farmers, offer a great product, but as well have this foundation attached to it, the Laughing Man Foundation, which does various projects from giving back to farmers to doing local projects to what we call random acts of kindness. Our original cafe was in Tribeca, about 150 square feet. And about 4 years ago, a couple of months actually after COVID hit, we opened a 2,000 square foot space right next door. And I'm talking to you now from Laughing Man Studios, actually, which is our original cafe. So some really nice development happening. And we're about to, we're 2 months into launching our franchise program, actually. And so hopefully bringing this All Be Happy movement to more communities. And we're getting a great response from that.
What was the synthesized vision for the brand when you set out?
I always envision Laughing Man as more than coffee. We honor coffee and I put our coffee up against anybody. And you're going to go into any business, your core product has to withstand that competition. And so 14 years in New York, we've done that. We have a great reputation for that. But for me, it really came back to this motto that we have, which the Laughing Man motto is all be happy. And that comes from an ancient prayer, which says, may all be happy, may all be free of disease, may all have well-being and none suffer misery of any kind. And really what that is, it's just an invitation to view the world in sort of a larger circle. And so for me, the brand was, what kind of voice can we have? What can we put out into the world, not only through coffee, but events at the cafe, and now we're doing this through the studio as well, that bring that ethos. And what I love most about hospitality and coffee in particular is really, and I guess it may sound a little cheesy or Pollyannish, but the way it brings anybody together. It can bring old friends, it can be strangers together. So, you know, for the past 14 years, seeing that happen in the cafe, it's really that we're trying to bring either to communities through the franchise, through content we do through the studio, through how we treat people in the cafe. So that's what inspired me and how we look at, you know, how we grow the brand and how we improve it.
I wonder if you could give me a snapshot of what the foundation is and what it's trying to achieve.
The foundation, we started with the company originally 14 years ago, and it's gone to a recent evolution, which I'll talk about. But the original impulse behind the foundation was, in my mind, there's a lot of people doing work in all sorts of aspects of coffee. So, you know, if you are looking to give to a coffee farm, support it, generally you'll find things like drying beds and coffee equipment and things that go directly to the supply chain. And when I visited Dukali in Ethiopia, what I was most moved by was that coffee is a family business. It's a family commitment, and it's really a community commitment. And so we took the approach of, what can we do that supports the community and the family in the coffee world, right? So we certainly have done some sustainability things, like I said, drying coffee beds or supporting programs that go to better farming, but we've done a lot of projects around housing, right? Giving people just simply better housing, repairing housing, scholarships for children of coffee farmers in certain programs. In Peru, while there's been a lot of growth in women empowerment and women-led co-ops, Peru has been a little bit behind on that. And so we did a program specifically focused on women-led co-ops and bringing the community in behind them and training. And that pivoted a little bit during COVID to life-saving kits, which we needed. So we diverted some of the funds, but then we went back to that. So traditionally, our aim has been, what can we do to support the community and the family element in coffee growing? And over the past couple of years, we've, you know, just looked at what else we can do and began to re-envision the foundation. And so we're working under a new ethos now of really that we have three buckets we support. And our thinking behind giving is, you know, the world is complicated enough. Giving shouldn't be. Be kind, be generous, repeat is sort of our internal ethos behind the foundation. So we have three buckets. One will always be a coffee sustainability bucket, because that honors our roots and honors our coffee partners. We have a New York City or local giving bucket. So that is, you know, we're based in Manhattan and New York. So that's, how do we give back in our, you know, backyard? Yep. And then we have a bucket which is called a random acts of kindness. And this is just what I call sort of our shock and awe department. Where can we have fun, not overthink it, and just see how we can make anybody's day or life a little better. And that could be, I don't know, picking up the electricity bill for somebody, dropping off gifts at a shelter. You know, not complicated, not overthinking, just bringing that joy to somebody in a moment. Wow. So that's our new vision for the foundation. And, you know, we have some great projects coming up that we'll make more public as we get there. But that's our broader direction, which allows us to be a little more creative, fulfill that All Be Happy mission, work with a wider range of partners. And so we're excited about it.
Fantastic. So you mentioned earlier franchising. That's going to be a new model going forward. Tell us about that.
Obviously, we're in the coffee business. We have to grow the business. And we've had a lot of offers over the years. And listen, we've been around for 14 years, really, with this one shop and our e-com. And as a brand, we punch way above our weight. And I think it comes from the authenticity of the story. I think it all comes from word of mouth, from just people really enjoying the experience at the cafe and obviously the quality of the coffee. So we've had a lot of options and a lot of avenues we could look at for growth. And the team has really been always small. It's always been sort of me and a small team. We're not a big operation. And so the paths are either we go and we open more cafes on our own, and we certainly have that opportunity. But we were approached by a great team that we're working with now, who actually was approaching us for a few years and heard a lot of no's for a while. But then we said, listen, how do we work with partners who can take on the building and the sales and the investment and the growth? And we can do what we do well, which is manage and grow the heart of the brand while somebody handles that execution side that we trust. We also want to work with people who love being in hospitality. So these are, you know, a franchisee owner is an owner operator, right? Yeah. And somebody who has skin in the game. And it's up to us to find the right franchisees and control the brand and maintain the quality. And not only the quality of coffee, but the quality of experience that people get when they come to Laffy Man. And I feel like the franchise system allows us to do that with the owner operators who can become passionate about their shop. So I'm really excited about it. We have an amazing team behind us. You're going to be hearing some great news. And I'm looking forward to seeing this vision get to scale in that way. Mm. And me personally, and I think as a brand, this is not about taking over the world. It's not what inspires me. What inspires me is somebody opening up a Laffy Man like I have in their community and, you know, showing up every morning and seeing a line out the door and just having a moment where like, man, I brought that to the neighborhood and people love it and they're meeting here and it's their spot and adding that kind of value. That's what really excites me. So a lot of great things coming on that front.
Mm-hmm. Will this be a New York thing first and foremost, or is it going to be US wide or other parts of the world?
The goal is certainly national and obviously global. From a strategic standpoint, it'll be East Coast focused now. You know, what they call the Amtrak strategy. So anything you could really get to and have be hands-on in a pretty short amount of time. So we're talking East Coast, but we're certainly in conversations for people who have a larger vision as well. So, you know, both those conversations happen at the same time. And those conversations are generally with larger partners. But I think certainly for your individual and maybe, you know, a couple of multi-shop owners, East Coast will be where we'll start so we can maintain that quality control as we work through the system.
What are the challenges you have personally faced as an entrepreneur in the coffee industry? Clearly, you know, backed by a big name celebrity, nonetheless, doesn't make the whole execution of a coffee business work. You know, like you've got to roll up your sleeves and get things done. What are some of the challenges that you've faced?
It's a great question because I love that you appreciate that. And it's funny, you know, sometimes people ask us to set up a pop-up coffee stand at an event or a pop-up store. And, you know, what I try to explain to them, the truth is 150 square feet, 2,000 square feet, it's all messy. It all requires the same effort to do it really well. So I would say, listen, the hospitality business is a tricky business. You have to love it. That's the only thing that motivates you. And I happen to love it. Me personally, It was the first time, to be honest, that I managed a team like this. So I always sort of worked on my own, or if I was working for somebody else, I was in an environment where I wasn't managing the team. I was just a coworker. And that's, to me, that's easy, but I never had to motivate a team or understand their needs or understand what skills they have to really bring out the best in them. So for me, that was the hardest challenge. It is now one of the things I actually enjoy the most. And we have a really core group of people who have been with us for a while, who have grown with us and have now taken on leadership positions. But me learning how to acknowledge that team, lead the team, inspire them, be tough when I have to be tough, listen to them, admit my vulnerabilities, admit that mistakes will be made, but we'll correct them. All of that has been the toughest part for me. And I don't think that ever becomes easy in a way, because you always have new staff, but you certainly get more comfortable with it. And I would say that, if you will, that working service, that working area never changes, because hospitality is all people.
Along that way, you've enjoyed the ride. You've had lots of magic moments. Are there any particular moments on that journey that have just really stood out as something that you go, I'm so glad I did this?
Yeah, there's a couple. I think the thing I love most, and I think most people who are in coffee or hospitality, is meeting the people that come into the cafe. So we're very blessed. We're on Duane Street in Tribeca, one of the most beautiful blocks, the second oldest park in New York. We have beautiful outdoor seating, which we've had for ages, even before the COVID dining out. We have this old school loading dock because we're in an area of the city that was all warehouses. Ours was a Roquefort cheese company building. We're next door is a coffee and tea company. So my favorite moment is when the weather's nice and we're sitting on the stoop, and you are just having conversation after conversation with old friends and strangers for a moment, for whatever reason, have dropped all agendas and all issues and all whose side are you on, and just enjoying this moment. And that's when I'm like, I'm so happy we did this. It's so satisfying. And again, it can sound a little cheesy, but when I look back on those days, I find it more satisfying than the money of the business. That's what fills me up. And truly, it's those experiences where I say, I don't need as much as I thought I needed. That was really satisfying. And I like those because it balances me as a business owner in the other stuff I get caught up in that is not as always so useful. And if I look sort of other reflective moments, they wouldn't be obvious to people, but they're the moments where we didn't quit. And we just kept going. And that was from even opening up the first cafe to opening on time, to delivering coffee to events we didn't think we were going to make, to having a storm we didn't think we were going to open. It's just the constant reminder where I look back and just say, if you just stay with it, it works. Something opens up and you get it done. And, you know, you might look and say, I hope I have no difficult moments, but that's not where any of the growth comes from. So Laughing Man over these past 14 years has allowed me to grow personally so much that I'm so grateful for it.
Was there ever a moment you looked back and you thought, I don't know if I can continue this. This is just too hard.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm honest, pre-COVID, well, COVID was not 4 years. So 10 years, right? Let's give it that 10-year mark. And I've spoken to friends about this, you know, I'm close to, and other, you know, entrepreneurs. I was hitting a wall. I wanted things to be growing more. I wanted certain deals to close. Personally, I wanted to do more, which was one of the impetuses behind doing Laughing Man Studios. You know, I wanted to get the ethos and the message of what we were trying to do with the brand out to more people. I wanted to do more creative things. So there was a lot of personal things as an entrepreneur. I was just hitting a wall, and you really got to grind through that. And we're certainly on the other side of that. But I don't think there ever comes a time where you wouldn't face that at some point. But again, the value is you don't give up, you stay with it. And now there's this whole other chapter of Laughing Man blossoming, which again, I'm so happy about. So definitely I hit those moments. And it wasn't one thing specific. It was just you know, again, you're at it for 10 years, you're grinding for 10 years. Hospitality in New York is a very everyday consumer facing business. There's nowhere to hide. And, you know, you want to care for your employees, you want to give them growth opportunities, you know, personally, you feel like if you're not growing, you get stuck. So a lot of that comes into play, but we're definitely on the other side of that as a business and personally.
Tell us about Laughing Man Studios. What's the deal with that?
So this is the thing that has given me the most inspiration, has pulled me out of, you know, what else can I do? Laughing Man Studios, we've turned our old cafe, 150 square foot original OG Laughing Man Cafe, which is right next to our new one on Duane Street, into a audio visual studio. So right now I'm recording to you from, you know, we've had it retrofitted, soundproofed, sound engineered, cameras, lights, everything. We are producing our own content. We have two podcasts now. One of them is called Ain't Gonna Lie, and that's based on three baristas who have this amazing rapport, who have been with us for a while. And that's talking about life and what it's like to grow up and be a good man and love and work and deal with relationships. And they have this really wonderful rapport and some gravitas to them. And I love the fact that there are three baristas who came out of Laughing Man. The director of the studio, Tracy Thomas, who's an old friend of mine, and she has her podcast called Talk with Trace, a really thought-provoking podcast, sitting down with thought leaders who are just doing great things, and with a little bit of a sustainability bent on that. And then my All Be Happy podcast will be coming out soon, and that's going to be looking at sitting down with people who have great stories, but looking at it through the lens of even some of the questions that you asked, you know, what are the lessons you learned? What put you through? How has your definition of happiness changed? I have a big, when I say a big background, I've been sort of studying philosophy and meditating for a while. So those kinds of questions are important to me. And that's where our All Be Happy ethos came from. So we have some original content. We're working with others to produce content for them that don't have anything to do with the studio per se, but just they need podcast or audio visual done. We have some plans next year for some live events. We're doing events out of the cafe as well. So this is the vision of it. But as far as the content that we produce, it'll be to produce stuff that is uplifting and inspiring and apolitical and stuff that we can sort of meet on a common ground, which is what I think coffee shops do as well. And so, you know, how do we bring the importance of that great good place in a way to a wider, you know, audiovisual audience or content audience?
Sounds great. So what's next for Laughing Man? What's coming up next?
Right now, we're focusing on supporting the franchises. We're focusing on this studio, the events in the studio, and making the physical location just, again, more and more building on our reputation and making it more and more not only a destination location, which it is, but embrace our community. Oh, you know, I forgot to mention two things, which is interesting. We also recently came out with a digital magazine, which is part of the Laughing Man Studios, and that'll come out every 2 months. And that is a piece of long-form journalism. We have some great people contributing to that. And again, that ethos is about not only just putting out something that talks about Laughing Man and its products, but something of value that people can sink their teeth into. So we're really excited about that. That'll be in print as well as digital. And we have our e-com channels as well. And so that whole ecosystem pushing that forward. So we're really excited about it.
Right. What's the digital magazine called?
So that's called Sip, Ponder, and Repeat. And that's a really beautiful digital experience which we'll be pushing more and more. But what I love about that is it's actually got some nice thought-provoking articles, which each 2 months will have a theme. The last theme was togetherness. And so I write something and then all the contributors write something in that aim. And the next theme coming up will be words matter.
David, thanks so much for joining us here today on Fifth Wave.
Thank you so much for the invite.
And that's all for this week's Fifth Wave podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, please subscribe and share the link with a friend or colleague. Also, if you're on Apple or Spotify, we'd really love a 5-star review to help us increase our reach across the industry. To stay informed, visit worldcoffeeportal.com to get access to all the latest global coffee news, including the weekly coffee dose, collecting all the big coffee news stories. Links are in the show notes. This episode was produced in the one and only Serendipity Studios in glorious Camden, North London. It was produced by myself, Jeffrey Young, Hannah Heath, and sound engineering by Chris Bristow. And this week's song, and the joint runner-up of the Coffee Music Project 2024, the Planet Earth theme competition, is Aurora by New York-based artist Matt Kent. And until next time, stay safe, stay passionate, and stay caffeinated.
Couldn't run from me, and baby, now if you tried, I'd ask the northern lights to show me the place you hide. I see the light of heaven, baby, it's in your eyes. I hope you know, I hold you close. If it all went to hell, I'd walk through smoke to get you home. 'Cause I'd climb every mountain, every tree, step through the ocean, seven seas, walk through the hills and fields of green. Thank God this earth brought you to me. I'd part the ocean wide.